Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to be with you. It is a Thursday. We're getting towards the end of the week, but there's lots of interesting things to talk about. By the way, today we have telephones. Yep, we got that little technology thing all fixed, so it's your opportunity to call and talk about. Well, tomorrow's Freedom Friday, so we're not going to do that, but you can call and talk about the issues of the day today, and producer Phil will actually answer the phone. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220, or just send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. Got lots of emails. Yesterday, I'm sorry, guys, I just didn't get to the emails. Sorry, my apologies. Because as happens often in a one-hour morning political talk show, people don't necessarily get going as early, and towards the end of the show, they decide they want to call in, and I want to listen to what everybody has to say about the political issues of the day. Political issues of the day, politics with your coffee. With an eye towards talking about those things, these issues that impact our life, with how you can make a difference with those issues. That's what we try to do every day here. Today, by the way, is National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. We're going to get into that a little bit. Two things primarily that I want to talk about is an article about Salem's homeless camping ban. May have backfired. Do you think it has? What's your impression of that? I mean, our primary broadcast area, of course, is in the Salem area. So what do you think? Is it banning? I mean, this ban on camping, the way that the city council has created it, is it working? Is it not working? Are there better ideas that maybe the city council should consider other than just throwing money at things, and a lot of money, because Peter Courtney is proposing spending a lot of your money, which is a typical liberal Democrat response, right? During this February short session, Peter Courtney wants to spend an additional $3.7 million of your money to help solve just Salem's housing crisis. Now, the way it works in politics, folks, in a legislative session, especially a short session like this, that's going to be dominated by one of the other topics we're going to talk about, and that, of course, is cap and tax scheme, which was the subject of how is that all going to play out. That was the subject of last night's executive club meeting with State Senator Chuck Thompson. We'll get into that also as we go through the show that day. But the way it works in a short session or any session, if you're going to ask for specific amount of money for a particular area, city, doesn't matter who you are, you got to get enough votes for that. And that means you got a horse trade. You got to buy people off. So that $3.7 million that Peter Courtney wants, my guess is it grows. It grows because that's how you get enough votes to pass it. But is that the answer here? I mean, the city of Salem's taken a tough law enforcement kind of an attitude, but is it backfiring if the bans that they have put in place are forcing people to sit in front of, like, the Nordstrom building? What an eyesore that is. Are there other solutions that don't hurt the values of property owners, or frankly, more importantly, make a fear or a disincentive of going to a particular place as consumers, like the downtown, to go shopping? Now, who shops? The largest portion of shoppers, especially in Salem, but really just anywhere, are women. Just go look any time of the day. There are far more women out there shopping than there are men. Women are generally a little more afraid of the homeless population, with good reason. Every day we see and hear stories about homeless men accosting, harassing, or doing physical harm to women. Now, it's not just us in Oregon, but it's all over the country. But you read these stories. They're out there. Okay? So why, as a city, would you want to put in place a policy that forces the homeless people to go create fear in the hearts of your constituents when they're shopping downtown? Typically, downtowns are core of any city, right? Why would you want to put in place a policy that allows that, yet still never deals with effectively the reasons of homelessness? Now, fear is the second thing we're going to talk about today, because a great piece by lawyer and Republican political consultant, kind of Larry Huss, and it's in the Oregon Catalyst today, folks. And it is, you know, Larry is not a Trump conservative by any stretch of the imagination. Larry's always been he's a brilliant thinker, I think, and a great writer. He's always been a more moderate establishment kind of Republican, has always been my view of Larry. But he's written a great piece. It's about fear. And it is the fear of, well, I'll just give you the headline. The paralysis of speculative fear. Now, fear is a powerful motivator as a human emotion, is it not? All you have to do is look at the algorithms in stock trading. This is a great example for you. You know, in about 17 minutes, the stock market's going to open today. Probably going to open up a little bit because no new bad news has hit the wires. Now, the algorithms of computer trading systems are based on what? Fear. You see, the algorithms read headlines. This is why the news media is so powerful in this country, good or bad. They read the headlines. And the moment these computer trading algorithms automatically are programmed to read headlines of news stories across lots of platforms, and they key in on certain words, and certain words trigger algorithms, computer algorithms, generating sell orders in the stock market. That's how you could go from being down within, based on a couple of news stories, being down within, and take yesterday for as an example. The futures trading before this show opened yesterday was somewhere around, was down about 480 points. Because it was based on algorithms picking up certain news stories. And then the algorithms picked up other positive things, and it reverses. And in fact, it was about a 600-point reversal until the last few minutes of the trading day yesterday. Now, I happened to be watching this on Fox Business. And all of a sudden, a 280-point gain from a 480-point loss, so that's really about 700-plus, change, that 280-point gain in the last few minutes of the trading day went down about 100 points. Again, it was because there were news headlines that there had been two explosions in Baghdad, Iraq. The computer algorithms kicked in. Why are the computer algorithms written in such a manner? Fear. That's why. Fear of what? Fear of loss. If you saw Fox News this morning, you would have seen another type of fear, and this is my question for you today. Can you use fear? Fear of losing something. We've talked about this before. Fear of losing something that you value more importantly, maybe than other things in life, can conservatives use fear to motivate people politically, to persuade the persuadables? Fox News showed this morning in Virginia Beach, Virginia, hundreds, if not maybe thousands of people showing up at a Virginia Beach City Council meeting. Actually, not a Virginia. It was in Virginia Beach, but it was actually the county meeting. Why? Because what's happening is the Virginia Beach County, whatever county that is, was considering an ordinance about becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary county. Now, by the way, the same thing is happening here in Oregon, if you're not familiar with it. It's a good move. We've talked about that before also. Why would hundreds, if not thousands of people, why would they have shown up last night at that county commission meeting? Fear. Fear of losing something. Because you see, the governor, Ralph Northam, who's the guy who's the doctor, medical doctor, who thinks it's okay to have a baby born, keep it comfortable if it has survived an abortion attempt, and then the mother and the doctor figure out together if they're going to kill the baby. That guy. Yeah. Well, that guy is promising all kinds of new gun control, common sense legislation. It's what Bloomberg says, what we hear in Oregon all the time, right, from the gun grabbers, common sense. It is all meant to take away something, fear of loss, fear of your ability to exercise your constitutionally guaranteed Second Amendment right to own and keep firearms. It's actually deeper than that, friends. And it's the same fear that drives homelessness effects. The fear of the loss of personal safety. You have a right, again, a human right, to defend yourself. And in our nation, in our country, we have a constitution. And that constitution guarantees your right to defend yourself with a firearm, if you so choose. That fear of losing that right with a firearm to defend yourself and your family is what motivates and motivated people to turn out last night. Now, all across Virginia, by the way, this is happening. County after county after county is choosing to become a sanctuary county. Saying, basically, it doesn't matter what the state legislature does, we're going to ignore it. And it is the same thought process and so-called legal basis for states and cities choosing to become illegal alien sanctuary counties or cities. Don't you love that turnabout? Turnabout is fair play. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Well, that's the reality, folks. Fear is a powerful motivator. Can we conservatives use it appropriately to persuade persuadables and start moving those persuadable voters to our side of the ideological spectrum? What do you think? 503-589-1220, the Power of Buick GMC Doc Line. Is it possible? Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us today. We're talking about fear as a powerful motivator by conservatives. Really? Can we use that effectively to move the persuadables our way? Well, it seems to work in human nature with all kinds of other things, stock trading. But what about public policy? Larry Huss has written a great piece about this called The paralysis of speculative fear. It's on the Oregon Catalyst. You can read that. And it has to do also with our second story we're talking about, Salem's homeless issue. And the Salem City Council's ban, it has driven people into the downtown. And that's not good for merchants, and it's not good for property owners there. Why? Because it's a huge disincentive. Panhandlers and people camping on the sidewalks. By the way, did you see the story recently on San Francisco? It's an incredibly beautiful city where the DA there for the city has basically said, we're not prosecuting homelessness. We're not prosecuting violating, like going to the bathroom in public on the street. We're not prosecuting needles, drug addiction. And it's getting incredibly bad. At some point, people are going to desert the areas of San Francisco where the cops, based on their being told they have to stand down, simply refuse to do it. Is that what we want for Salem? Do we want Salem to turn into the downtown area, to turn into San Francisco? I kind of doubt it. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. If you're a woman, do you want to go downtown anywhere, Portland or any place else in America? Doesn't matter where, Salem. And have to go past people who are mentally ill, people who are drug addicted, panhandling, threatening you, acting crazy because they should be in a mental institution. We don't do that anymore because it's not politically correct. You really want to go down there and shop? Would love to hear from you. 503-589-1220. Is Salem's ban, is it working? By the way, a couple of emails here. I want to thank Dwight for sending me an interesting email. You know, Oregon pot sales, do you know where you might really be surprised? It's a KGW story. What county sells more pot than any other place in Oregon? Well, at least last year, 2019. You might be surprised. Baker County. What? Yeah. $30 million in a county with a population of 16,820. That's basically $1,800 per resident. This is data from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Now, why would that be? Well, it's because folks from Idaho, where recreational pot is not legal, come across the state line to, well, places like little tiny Huntington, 30 miles from the state line. They buy a lot. Ontario opened their first shop in July. It's closer to where? Idaho. Huge sales. Huntington's $30 million in pot sales declined down to $8 million. Now, what's amazing is that the cities like Ontario have a 3% cannabis tax on top of the state's 17% tax and has added over 10%. Just their city tax alone has added 10% to their city budget. That'll help them deal with the PERS issue, won't it? And they're going to get money from the state tax. It's just an interesting little side note of today's conversations. Rural counties next to states that don't have recreational pot have certainly benefited the most. Today's National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. If you see a cop today, just say thanks for serving. I have to tell you, I cannot think of a more noble and a more difficult profession. You know why it's difficult? Because when you call a cop, let's say you are a shop owner in downtown Salem. You've invested your life. It's your business. In your downtown business, and because of the politicians' policies, they've driven the homeless to now be in front of your business. That was part of that story, that Fox News story about San Francisco. It was actually on Tucker Carlson's show, if I remember right. You know, the longtime business owner that owned a little grocery store. And while they are filming this segment, there's all kinds of homeless people doing all kinds of things outside the shop. Constant confrontation. Constantly calling the cops. Now, if you're a shop owner or you're a woman shopping downtown Salem and you get accosted, you call the cops. You call 911. Cops have to come and try to figure out what's going on. They have an almost impossible job. You see, cops, as opposed to firefighters, yeah, we firefighters, and I spent 30 years in the fire business, folks. We firefighters are viewed as the heroes because we come in and we save people's lives from whatever is happening. A cop has to come in and be a referee, be a judge in many ways, and make snap judgments. They have to enforce the law. All of it is negative. You know, that's why I say to you, do you see a cop today? Thank them for the job they do, because it is a thin blue line, and blue lives do matter, folks. They truly do. It's tough being a cop in some places, really tough. And I have great admiration for anybody in law enforcement because of what they do every day, the negatives that they deal with every day. So if you see one today, anywhere, stop and roll down your window, City of Salem, any place, Marion County, Linn County, wherever you're at, just say, hey, thanks for serving. We appreciate it. Today is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. I want to remind you, too, Diamond Royalty Rides is a great local Salem company. And they help you live some luxury. You can bring joy to somebody's life with Diamond Royalty Rides with a limousine ride. Go to their website, diamondroyaltyrides.com. Check it out. It's 6:30. Back in a moment, friends. Don't wait. Lock in.
Hey, dear believers, have light on their faces as they march through town to the riverside. They baptize believers in this celebration of
Stop the car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes to the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, welcome to Political Coffee, talking about the political issues of the day and how they impact your life, but more importantly, how you can use them to persuade the persuadables. Because you are the greatest influencer you'll ever know, and you can make a difference. And we're going to talk about a couple of ways that you can make a difference in a moment, including the February 6th Timber Unity Rally at the state capitol. Folks, they have over 2,200 log trucks now registered, coming from all over the state. And we are going to be broadcasting live this show and the top and the bottom of every hour till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can come and join us. You can make a stand for your values and your principles. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Brian. Brian, good morning. What do you have to say today? Welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. You know, you're talking about the homeless. So every morning I follow my wife to work. She works down the state building. She has to park in the underground garage and walk several blocks to where she works before daybreak. And I'm just not going to let her walk past, you know, the all the street people. I mean, it just doesn't make common sense. And it seems like, you know, every place where Democrats run things for a while, the policies they initiate, this is the problem you got. If anybody wants to see a real good documentary on, just watch Seattle's Dying, you know, to get educated. And you start wondering, can they just be this stupid, the ones who run things, the powers that be, et cetera, or is it by design to bring about changes that they want that people wouldn't ordinarily go for, but, you know, they'll create the crisis and then come in and rescue us. That's my jaded opinion. And it's even spilled over down to Brownsville. My brother, who lives, has 40 acres south of Brownsville, a couple miles. He said he couldn't believe he was driving through Brownsville, and here's a guy standing out alongside the street with his pants down around his ankles and his privates exposed. And in a little town like Brownsville. So that's what happens when small things are tolerated and drugs are encouraged.
You make an interesting point. Yeah. And it is, first of all, Brian, kudos to you, by the way, for looking out for your wife and not allowing her to be subject to that kind of thing in the, you know, in the darkness. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of women that work for the state or work for private companies that don't have a husband or a boyfriend or a significant other to help them through that circumstance. And the reason you're doing that is fear, right?
Right.
Fear that somebody's going to do something to someone you love, and you're not going
to. She's not even allowed to carry any kind of self-defense thing working in the department she works in. She can't carry pepper spray legally or anything like that. You know, they completely disarm them and then expect them to deal with the mess that's out there. So anyway, it's,
but he gets back to your underlying question: how can it be that all of these cities run by liberal do-gooders put in place these policies that create these problems, and then the deal with it, they do two things. They prohibit someone like your wife from carrying a self-defense tool of any type that preserves her human right to defend herself. That makes her a victim, then, of the other bad policy that they put in place that doesn't hold people accountable, and allows her then to become a victim. That's bad policy. And unfortunately, people vote these politicians into office who make these bad decisions at the state level and certainly at the city level. And it's stunning because it is an ideology, Brian. Kudos to you, by the way. I'm glad you do that for your wife. She's a lucky gal.
Thank you. Well, I'm lucky to have her, so I've got to protect her. So.
You are, my friend. All right, Brian, thanks. Great story, by
have
the way.
Have a good day.
Let's move on to the next phone call. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning. What do you have to say?
He's right. It's by design. The thing that always puzzles me is that everybody complains about them, but no one wants to say, what is their primary goal? What is their ultimate goal? Because this many people in politics can't be that stupid unless they have it by design and they have a goal in mind. And that's one of the big problems is people don't look at what is their goal. Their goal is chaos and control. They want to control every part of your life. The other side of it, too, that I was going to ask you is that so the politicians go into the February session and they take their oath, aren't they violating their oath when they go against the Constitution that they just promised to uphold?
Well, they do, but they think that they are keeping within the boundaries of the Constitution. And you know why, Rich? Because they have lawyers who say they are, even though those lawyers often get proven wrong in courts later on. So that's the political cover that they will take, or they will outright lie to you about these things, like Jennifer Williamson did in the death penalty nullification bill that we're finding out more and more is having an impact on that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, they do it because they violate the Constitution, because they think they're acting constitutionally, because somebody says they are.
I think they know they're not. I think they know they're violating the Constitution.
I think some do. I think you're right. I think some do, but it doesn't matter to them. The ends justify the means to a leftist, right?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. It's all leftist. It's not a liberal. It's a communist. It's a socialist. It's hard left, and I don't understand why people don't grasp that as well as they should.
All right, so why don't you think people get it?
I don't know. I always come up with different ideas every day, so I don't have a real good answer for you other than they don't care, they're too busy, they're not stupid. Most people aren't stupid. They believe the lie. Pick your definition today. Mine changes every day when I talk to people.
Do you think it's because that we're just ever more fractured in our ability to assimilate information during the day, i.e. because now we all have these computers on our hips, right? These smartphones. And kudos to all of you out there that use flip phones. I'm almost there. I'm almost thinking about going back to a flip phone. But anyway, we have these computers on our hips, Rich. And then we look at Twitter, we look at the internet, we look at our email, and we're so fractured in our time and attention, we only read just some bare headlines. And from those bare headlines, we formulate our opinions without going deep into the issues and understanding them. And that's
one of my thoughts is that we're bombarded so heavily every day with the lies of the left that we just get kind of numb to it. And then you could have your kids go to school, and now they're into this thing called democratic socialism, which is a farce, and so they're getting brainwashed. It's a brainwashing that is constant all the time. I don't know, pick an adjective. I don't know what to tell you.
So how do you wake people up from that? How do you get them to pay attention and figure out that they are being lied to and deceived?
Well, there again, you have those that will never change because they don't want to, and then you have those in the middle that are malleable. The only thing I've done is try to say, well, your taxes are going up. Gee, I wonder why. Oh, wait a minute, you voted these people in, didn't you? So yep, you got two options: start thinking and voting them out, or leave the state.
Ultimately, that's the conclusion. You have to lead people to reach themselves. Rich, excellent points. Thanks for calling today. I do appreciate it. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am, and I will really try to read it on the air. In fact, Lee wrote me an email. Here's what it is. Show your cards, Democrats. Help those in need. Since the Democrats, he writes, and ignorant, want to create an elite privileged class supported by the masses, similar to several movies, why don't they purchase an old town for the homeless and illegals, a sanctuary city? Just think how this would clean up the streets, allowing the homeless to build and maintain their home without the continual fear of being uprooted. How the illegal can live in the American dream without fear of being deported. We are better to help these people with their rights to live their lives in a way they choose because they matter. And he says, the above fictional story has been played out on the big screen in movies like The Hunger Games and Agenda 21. Sanctuary provisions attract the lawbreaker. The homeless problem started many years ago. The shutdown of the mental services and other programs, all to take down the current laws and policies. That's what Lee thinks. It's an interesting idea, right? I mean, if you liberals out there that just love to tax the middle class and the poor, even though you say you're taxing the rich, you're really taxing the middle class and the poor out of their ability to live the American dream. Well, however you define it, you're taking away their ability to do it. And it's not just taxes, it's regulations, right? You're making it harder to get ahead. You're making it harder to live your life. You're raising the cost of living with all your crazy ideas that sound so good, don't they? And in a booming economy where your wages are going up and you can go get a better job just about any time you want because of the need for labor and good labor, you still can't seem to get ahead. Who's doing that to you? Well, it's not the conservatives, folks. Got a great email from another state employee about Iran when we come back, and some other things in your phone calls. It's 6:48 in the morning. Don't.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. You can also send me an email to jeff at 1220.am. President Theodore Roosevelt said this, quote, "In any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing." Wise words, isn't it? That relates to this whole business of fear and the paralysis that fear can put into your life. And it's an interesting piece. It's on the Oregon Catalyst today. You can read it. Called the paralysis of speculative fear. And it talks about Obama and Biden, and a lot of their foreign policy was bad and continues to be bad to this day in terms of its impact, having to do with Iran and all kinds of a lot of Obama's policies, both domestic and foreign. We're all based on fear. And then, of course, we have the climate change fear. We've only got 12 years left. All of that's fear that is meant to move people emotionally. Friends. Donald Trump showed the world that he's not afraid of fear, the fear of taking out one of the worst guys in the world, one of the most worst human beings to ever have lived on the face of the earth, Qasem Soleimani. I have literally followed this man for many years. You know, read the Debka file. It's run by former Israeli intelligence people. You want to know what's going on in the Middle East? Just read that. It's really kind of a mouthpiece for the Israeli intelligence services is really kind of what it is. But this, they've been talking about this guy for years. And they've listed chapter and verse of what this man has been involved with for a long time. Trump took him out. He wasn't afraid of the consequences. I got to tell you, I admire people who are fearless. But when it comes to especially the Iran issue and fear, let me read to you another email from a not-to-be-named state employee. And I'll do that in a moment, but I want to remind you that if you have not tried CBD products, you oughta. They work for many of the members of my family. Certainly for me, you've heard me talk about that. But they work for other people in my world. In fact, last night I had dinner with a man who's elderly, who is... had some health issues, and he is using a high-quality CBD product. And he told me last night it's helping him in a number of ways. Maybe it can help you. And I think you ought to talk to the people that I buy my CBD from right here in Salem, Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. They're down on South Commercial right next to Safeway. They've got a great website, Vim Salem, V-I-M, Salem.com. You can learn a lot more about CannaShield, which is their brand, which is a very high quality product. They have it analyzed to prove that it is what they say it is. You're actually getting what you're buying. CannaShield. It's grown here in Oregon. It's the best stuff there is. Check it out. VimSalem.com. So this state employee wrote me this email. Here's what it says. Iran's underlying motivation. It's been reported that Iran has decided to pull back, to take an off-ramp, and to not escalate a conflict with the U.S. Some conservatives are lauding Trump and the targeted U.S. airstrike that killed Qasem Soleimani. I happen to be one of those. Of course, this person writes, the regressive totalitarian Marxists are praising the mullahs for their restraint and wisdom. What's really going on if indeed Iran pulls back from avenging itself? This person writes, I think the mullahs know that if they did something now with Trump in office and vowing retribution, that they would receive a severe and overwhelming response by the U.S. So they're pulling back to bide their time. so that they could realize their nuclear bomb ambitions and plans to destroy Israel and U.S. interests. They play the long game. They're not retreating. They're just retooling. I hope President Trump and our military leaders understand their mentality and true ambitions. Their ambitions over the past 40 years should tell us about their vision for the future. Yeah. You see, Obama's bad Iran policy was based on fear. Fear of what? Well, fear that they couldn't take out the bad guy, Soleimani. Fear that the Iranians would get a bomb and that they would use it and destabilize the world, folks. Not just the Middle East, but the world. And that fear has allowed Iran to do all kinds of bad things. The fear that we can't take them out. The fear that we cannot destroy the nuclear weapons program. Because they have lost the right by their actions over the last 40 years of being the world's number one state sponsor of terrorism. They've lost the right on the world political stage to determine their destiny when it comes to developing a nuclear weapon because of their actions, because of their ideology, because of what they believe. Obama was paralyzed by fear, and that's Larry Huss's, well, it's part of what he's saying here. And he's right. Trump was fearless. I thought it was interesting that when he came out and did his press conference, he said the very first thing out of his mouth is that Iran will never get a nuclear weapon on my watch. Okay, so if the mullahs are playing the long game, how is Trump playing the long game? How is America going to play the long game with the right kind of policies and not go the next president? After Trump has won re-election, and he will, folks, when the next president unwind, if it's a liberal Democrat, unwind everything Trump has done to set us on the right course to not be paralyzed by fear or try to buy off the mullahs like Obama did. Now, fear is a powerful motivator. And if you care about your right, if you care about the direction of this country, of this state, of Salem, of the Capitol building. You need to show up at the Timber Unity Rally on February 6th. It's going to be huge, folks. We're going to be broadcasting there all day. I'm going to do the show there live from 6 to 7 in the morning. And then at the top and the bottom of every hour, we're going to be interviewing ordinary folks like yourself and state legislators and whoever else that wants to talk on the air about why they are there. Why are they there? What's the fear of regressive totalitarian Marxists passing policies, ramming policies down our throats that are going to do what? Destroy our lives and our economy, ultimately, with all of their policies. And cap and trade is the big one. It is especially damaging to rural parts of Oregon. Now, there's a lot more about this, but I want to encourage you to come and join us on February the 6th. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Folks, thanks for listening today, and thanks for calling in. I deeply appreciate each and every one of you. Get out there. Make it a great day. It's tomorrow. Freedom Friday. Be blessed, folks. See you then.